Now, if you're like me, you want to grow spiritually in this new year. You want to see God do great and mighty things. God wants to do that. God loves to do big things. But in order for God to do big things in your life this year, you're going to have to make some changes. Changes different from what you did last year. Because if you just do the same thing that you did last year, then you're going to get the same result. I've entitled this message today, Stop the Insanity. Stop doing the same things over and over and over again and expect a different result, because you won't get a different result. Hey, let's stop the insanity, but how do we do it?
New Year's resolutions. That's what they're called. And people make them each year. And maybe you've made them and had success in keeping them. But for many people, resolutions to live or do things differently in the next year end up often being a failure for one simple reason. The people that make the resolutions keep on living the same way they did before, yet they expect a different result. Today's message on From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve is called Stop the Insanity. The biblical advice today will focus on helping you see some spiritual resolutions come to fruition in 2015. Perhaps this is just the encouragement that you need on this first day of the new year. If you can't be with us for the entire message today, you can always listen again online at fromhisheart.org. Right now, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and get ready to follow along. Here's Pastor Jeff with a message that'll help us learn to stop the insanity.
Now, Webster defines the word insanity this way: severe mental illness, a deranged state of mind, mentally disordered, the condition of being insane. I don't imagine anyone in here would say that describes me, right? Nobody. I mean, we're not, it's not the meaning of the insane as it is defined by Webster. But you've heard the definition attributed to Albert Einstein of insanity: doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Busted. That hits a lot of us, because a lot of us do that. We're not mentally deranged, but we tend to do the same thing over and over and we expect a different result. That's the way a lot of New Year's resolutions go. They focus in on the result. I want this different result. But hey, 2 + 2 = 4 every single time. If you want it to equal 5, you got to change one of the factors. You got to change, it's not 2 + 2 anymore, it's 2 + 3. You got to change something in that equation. And so if I want to lose weight, I got to change my diet. I have to change what I do. I have to start exercising. I have to get on a program so that the result follows. I've entitled this message today, Stop the Insanity. Stop doing the same things over and over and over again and expect a different result, because you won't get a different result. Now, if you're like me, you want to grow spiritually in this new year. You want to see God do great and mighty things. God wants to do that. God is the God who's, the scripture says in Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory. God loves to do big things, big things. And he wants to do big things in your life. He wants to do big things in your marriage. He wants to do big things in your family. He wants to do big things through you at school. He wants to do big things through you in the community and beyond, because God loves to do big things. He's a big God. But in order for God to do big things in your life this year, you're going to have to make some changes. Changes different from what you did last year. Because if you just do the same thing that you did last year, then you're going to get the same result. So how can you stop the insanity and truly see a new you in this new year? Jesus tells us very succinctly in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. He's discussing different subjects. He's talking about hypocrisy. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen of them. He was nailing the Pharisees because that's their whole religion was a show. Look at me and clap for me and tell me how great I am. And the Lord says, you have your reward in full. You make me sick living like that. And he talks about hypocrisy, talks about prayer, talks about fasting, talks about money, talks about giving, and then he talks about worry, and he stays on the subject of worry for several verses, and he sums up everything in chapter 6 this way, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, all the things that you worry about. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hey, let's stop the insanity, but how do we do it? We do it by seeking him. There are three changes that I want you to make, that I want me to make in this new year. And they all revolve around seeking him. Changes that will change you. First change, seek him earnestly. Earnestly. That word earnestly in the dictionary means with deep sincerity, with seriousness. It's used in the Old Testament to talk about how the Ninevites, when Jonah preached and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed, the king of Nineveh told all the people, call on God earnestly, with force. When the Lord talks in Matthew 6, seek first, that's before anything else, that's of chief concern, to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. David said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David was seeking after God, seeking earnestly. And as the word is used there in Psalm 63, that word literally means early. It's the idea of, Lord, you're so important that I'm going to seek you early in the day. It's not going to be, well, I've been up for 6 hours. I better have some time with God. I've been up for all day. You know, I'm getting ready to go to bed. I better talk to God. I better spend some time with God. No, it's going to be early. And it's going to be with force, with seriousness, because I'm thirsting after you, God. You and I need to remember something. And it's something that we know, but we forget a lot when it comes to practice. The Lord is the most important appointment of your day, to spend time with God. That is the most important appointment that you have this day, tomorrow, the next day, and 1,000 days from now, your time with God. That's how you change. That's how you grow. That's how the Lord does things in my life and in your life, by spending time with him. Now, he says, seek first, before everything else, first and foremost, as a priority, his kingdom. You know, there are two kingdoms for every Christian. Just really one kingdom for unbelievers, but two kingdoms for every Christian. We deal with the kingdom of God, because the Bible says we're citizens of heaven, so we're part of the kingdom of God. We used to sing that song years ago, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Well, the family of God is in the realm of God, in the kingdom of God. And so Christians deal with the kingdom of God. But then just as unbelievers, we also have the kingdom of self. The kingdom of self is talked about in Matthew 6. That's where we have concerns. That's where we have worries. That's where we are anxious for our lives. As Jesus said, don't be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or for your body as to what you shall clothe yourself with. But see, when you get away from the kingdom of God and you get into the kingdom of self has things that get me scared. How am I going to have enough money to pay for Christmas? That's in the kingdom of self. What am I going to do when I go back to the doctor because he said it didn't look good? That's in the kingdom of self. How am I going to make it? They said my company may be shutting down. What am I going to do? Or I'm out of college now and there's nothing opening up. Or my biological clock is ticking like that and there's nobody on the horizon. And that's all involved in the kingdom of self. In the kingdom of self, there are lots of worries. And the Lord says this, seek first the kingdom of God. And I'll take care of the kingdom of self. And so that's a challenge for you and for me, because as one man wrote some years ago, there's the tyranny of the urgent. The kingdom of God doesn't call us as strongly as the kingdom of self does, because the kingdom of self has all these worries and pressures, and I got to get this done and I got to get that done and what about this and what about that? And so we end up chiseling the kingdom of God. We end up not spending the time we need to spend with God, and we forget that the Lord is the most important appointment of the day. Because in him, the Bible says in Colossians, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything you need for the kingdom of self, you find it in the kingdom of God. And as you seek first the kingdom of God, he takes care of the kingdom of self. So let's get practical as we talk about a new year. How can you really seek the Lord first? I mean, before you go online, before you go on Facebook, before you look at the paper, before you check to see who's emailed you, to seek the Lord first. So how do we do that? Let me encourage you to do this. This new year, when you get up in the morning, before your feet hit the floor, let your knees hit the floor. And you kneel by your bed and you thank God, for being good, for loving you, for saving you. You thank him for the fact that he has everything under control, that you can trust him, that he's faithful and he's true. Start every day on your knees praising the Lord. It doesn't have to be long, but it just lets God know that, Lord, you're the first person I'm thinking about this morning as I get up. There might be tyranny of the urgent in the kingdom of self, but I'm gonna focus in on you. And as soon as I get up, I'm praising you. And then take time for the word of God. And when we read his word, he speaks to us. And when we pray, we speak to him. And as you spend time talking to the Lord and hearing from the Lord begins to work to change your life. So what's the first change? To seek him first, to seek him foremost, to seek him earnestly. Change number two, seek not only him earnestly, but seek him obediently. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, it says in the New American Standard. In God's Word translation, it says this, but first be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. What has his approval? What the Lord says is right. That's the idea. As we seek the Lord, we seek him with an obedient heart that says, Lord, what do you say is right? Scripture talks about trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Paul prayed for the Colossians, and he prayed that the eyes of their heart might be opened, that they would see God's will for them, so that they may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. So when I seek the Lord, I seek him early and earnestly and first and foremost, because he is God, and the number one first off commandment is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, understanding who God is, it's the beginning of wisdom, it's the beginning of knowledge, that's the starting block. And so I seek you, God, because you are God and I am not. And now I come before you, not just with a seriousness, but with a heart that says, and Lord, I want to obey. Lord, I want to learn because your ways are right and you tell me what is right. And the Lord is the one who tells us what is right and what is wrong. The Lord does that. The Lord is the one who defines morality. Our country was based on biblical principles, and our country has a solid foundation, although it's eroding very quickly, of what is right and what is wrong, because it was founded on the Word of God. God's Word tells us what's right and what's wrong. That's why the Ten Commandments were posted in schools for years and years and years and years, till they said, oh, that's wrong. You can't do that anymore. We don't want our kids to know that they shouldn't lie and they shouldn't steal and they shouldn't cheat. That's a terrible thing to teach them that. Crazy, right? Well, God is the one that says what is right and what is wrong. And remember this about God. You know, the reason that God says you shall not lie, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, Those things that we read about in the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's spouse, anything that belongs to your neighbor. When God tells us those things, some people say, well, that's wrong because God said it's wrong. That's not why it's wrong. God did say it's wrong, but the reason God said it's wrong, it's not just capriciously God says, well, I'm going to come up with some commandments. Ah, how about this one? You shouldn't lie. Ah, how about this one? You shouldn't steal. That's not how God did it. The commandments of God, the moral commandments of God, come out of the being of God, out of the nature of God. God says don't lie because God is truth, and lying is totally opposite of who God is and what he is. God says that we're not to commit adultery because that is an impurity and God is pure. And so there's no way that God would do that. God says don't steal because that's just opposite of what God is and who he is. And so all the commands of God, the moral commands of God, they come out of the heart of God, out of the nature of God. And you and I have to go to the Lord with a heart that says, Lord, I'm going to seek you earnestly and I'm going to seek you obediently. It's your kingdom and it's your righteousness because I don't know what is right apart from you telling me what is right. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 says this, all scripture is inspired by God. That means it's God breathed and it's profitable for, now watch it, four things, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Now look at those four things, for teaching. The word of God, which is God-breathed, it comes from the heart, the breath of God on the writers of the Bible. God directed them and he breathed out his word. All scripture is like that. It is profitable for teaching. That is, it shows you what is right. It tells you what is right. It's profitable for reproof. It tells you what is not right. It's profitable for correction. It tells you how to get right. And it's profitable for training in righteousness. It shows you how to stay right. That's the word of God. And so when I come before the Lord, I say, Lord, teach me because I want to know what is right, what is not right. How to get right if I've strayed off? How do I get right, Lord? How do I correct myself? And how do I stay right? How do I walk in your ways? Now, here's the problem in our world today. We are telling God how things ought to be as far as morality goes, as far as right and wrong. We're telling God, hey, God, we don't like your morality, so we have a new morality. And this has been going on for decades. It's just we're seeing it more and more and stronger and stronger in our world today. But back 30 years ago, I remember having a conversation with a girl and she was telling me she was not married and she was a young girl. She was in her late teens and she was telling me she was going to go to Cancun with her boyfriend. And I remember saying to her, I said, really? I said, well, where are you going to stay? She said, well, we're staying in such and such hotel. I said, well, where is he going to stay? She said, well, he's going to stay in the hotel room with me. And I said, well, that's not right. And she looked at me and she said, well, get with the times, buddy. This is the 1980s. I said, oh, silly me. I'm still back in the 60s AD when the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 13:4, let marriage be held in honor among all and let the marriage bed be undefiled for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I said, that hasn't changed. God's standards of morality have never changed. You know, some people, they say, well, you know, you can't look at God's standards in the Old Testament because that was Old Testament stuff. And the Old Testament things, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament. We don't do that anymore. And so they throw out verses that are very, very clear in Leviticus, in the holiness code, which talks about morality. You got to remember this. When it comes to the Old Testament, you have different laws and some apply and some don't apply. For instance, God gave ceremonial laws to his Old Testament people. Well, the ceremonial laws were how they, Leviticus is full of ceremonial laws. This is how you come before me. This is the kind of sacrifice you do. This is what you do when you give a grain offering. This is what you do when you give a bull offering, a goat offering, a lamb offering, all that kind of stuff. Well, that's what they had to do. When they would come to worship the Lord, they would come with animals and sacrifice. And you say, are we still supposed to do that? Well, no. Those things were pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus has come. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is our sacrifice. We don't have to keep living in Leviticus as far as ceremonial law goes, because our great high priest has sacrificed himself. So of course that has been abolished and done away with. So anytime you read about ceremonial laws, that doesn't apply. Then there are civil laws. Civil laws in the Bible, those were specific to Israel, to the nation of Israel, when they were a theocracy, when God was their king. This is how they were to operate. And the Lord makes it clear, that's to them for that period of time. And things changed. And to say, well, are we supposed to operate that way? No. God's not putting us under those same civil laws that he put his special people under in the Old Testament, his ancient people, the people of Israel. So ceremonial laws have changed in the Old Testament. Civil laws have changed in the Old Testament. Ah, and then you come into moral laws. Moral laws. Have those changed? No. None of the moral laws have changed. Because moral law is rooted in the nature and in the character of God. And if sexual immorality was wrong in the Old Testament, then it's wrong in the New Testament, and it's wrong in our day, and a million years from now, it'll still be wrong.
God's word is consistent yesterday and today, and will be the same a million years from now. God doesn't change what he thinks about morality. Pastor Jeff will conclude the message tomorrow with more on how to stop the insanity. Now, today you heard just part one of that lesson. We'll have part two tomorrow, but you can listen again to these broadcasts online once they've aired anytime at fromhisheart.org. You can also download a free MP3 of these programs. There, too, you can also purchase the entire unedited message on CD, DVD, or transcript format. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, or you can call 1-800-985-1530, 1-800-985-1530. Well, you know, God really blessed From His Heart last year thanks to the support of our listeners, and that faithful support has allowed us to be here and on hundreds of stations across this nation each day with real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. And we just want to take a moment and thank you for the blessing that you've been to this ministry of hope, a ministry founded 10 years ago today that is striving to help people encounter Christ in a personal way, even more this coming year. Your support makes that happen, and God gets the glory. And speaking of His glory, this month for your support of any amount from His Heart, we'd like to send you Pastor Jeff's new series that will be airing starting on Monday called Experience His Glory, Living in the Awe of God's Presence. This brand new and enlightening series will help you better understand how to experience God's noticeable presence in your life, even during the ups and downs of life. You'll be blessed. Now, to get yours, call 1-800-985-1530. 1-800-985-1530 to make your gift and request Experience His Glory. Or you can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. And thank you so much for standing with us in 2015 to bring Jesus to hearts of people across your community and around the world. Well, thanks for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and be sure to join us as we close out the week tomorrow for part two of Stop the Insanity. We hope you'll be here on Friday as Pastor Jeff Shreve will open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. There is truth, there is truth, there is love. This program is sponsored by From His Heart Ministries, the listener-supported outreach of Pastor Jeff Shreve, who believes that no matter how badly you may have messed up in life, God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.